face as soon as you heard that music start playing.
That was great. I loved it.
What is happening, ladies and gents? Welcome to Talk To Me, the show where I get my friends to talk to me. It's been a minute since we've done this, and things have changed around the studio, but it's all good. How are we doing, Mick?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming onto the show, mate. We planned this, about 3-4 months ago?
Probably longer than that. You asked me to do it over Zoom.
We did, and life happened, and now we're here.
Now we're here.
And we're a little bit flustered, ladies and gents, because Mick just helped me move around the studio. And a lot of things went down. I broke some big glass somehow. I don't know how it happened.
No idea how it happened.
You don't know how it happened either. So I've got a witness this time. This couldn't have been my fault.
I'm actually lost for words how that happened. It was great. It was funny.
My glass computer shatter on me. And yeah, we're alive. We're good. And Mick, you're here. What's happening, bro?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just busy with work. Yeah, busy with work. I go to work, I go to church, I go home.
That's what do you do for work? Tell the people.
So I'm a physiotherapist.
How is being a physiotherapist these days, bro?
Honestly, I love it. Yeah? I couldn't have asked for a better job. And my boss, my people that I work with, could not have asked for a better team. Yeah, God has blessed me immensely.
Why physiotherapy, though?
Honestly, I wanted to work in sport, as every teenage boy does.
Pretty much.
Right? They want to work in sport. So I enrolled into exercise sports science. Wanting to do like a S&C high performance role.
Yep.
And then just down the track, I wanted to go a bit more clinical, injured both my shoulders, who I got treated by my boss when I was younger.
Oh, dead set.
And he kind of led me like wanting to do it. Not that he said anything. It was just, I fell in love with the rehab process.
Mad.
And ended up down that track.
And then bada bing, bada boom, it happened.
Pretty much.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like I have a lot of physiotherapists on here, bro. I don't know what's going on. I think I just get people that have treated me in the past and I'm like, yeah, jump on.
You know? I've only treated you once though for your neck.
Yeah, and that was no injury whatsoever. That was just stiff neck.
Yeah, pretty much.
So tell the people who you are, bro. I want to get your full story here. I reckon like that's where we're going with this one. I've been changing Talk To Me up a bit. You know, I've been just doing whatever. But I think this time I want your full story.
Okay, full story.
Give me your story, bro.
Okay, so...
Let's start from the start. Let's start from the beginning. Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Revesby.
Revesby? Yeah. All your life?
Well, pretty much my whole life. Went to Penani North Public School. Mm-hmm. Then went on to Picnic Point High School, which was good. Played footy pretty much my whole life. Did a bit of MMA.
Footy or soccer?
I tried soccer when I was younger. It was not good with my feet.
That's weird because you do a lot with soccer now.
Yeah, pretty much. So I do work in soccer and I do a lot of but they always make fun of me for my poor handling skills.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is granted.
So you played footy growing up and... Yeah. What, sport was always the go?
Yeah, sport, love sport. Uh-huh. Anything that has a ball, apart from with my feet, I'd play it.
All right, nice. And then, what? How were those years? Like, were they different? Were they pretty much stock standard to everyone else's? How was high school?
Yeah, I'd say pretty much stock standard. It's like pretty much just your general high school. Public high school, but it wasn't like a bad high school. I actually thought it was a good school. Teachers like actually cared about you. Back then, I didn't realize that. It was after I left, I realized.
I think that's everyone, bro.
Pretty much. And I wasn't really the study type. And then once I hit uni, I just loved it.
Why?
I don't know. It was probably, you know, when you study something you want to learn about, that just kind of clicked.
Okay, so answer this for me. Did you learn how to study after school?
Yeah.
Because I was the same way.
Yeah, after school.
Do you remember when it was? Like what?
It was probably my second year of uni, yeah. So I took the first year of uni, pretty much how I was in high school, and I was still getting like, decent marks. And then I was like, okay, then my shoulder injuries happened. I wanted to get into physio. And I was like, okay, I need to start knuckling down now.
And needed to be legit.
Yeah. Then I'd create to-do list. Like I was super organized. Assignments done a couple weeks in advance.
Yeah, it was similar with me. I was in my first year of college and I was like, if I want to do this, like I want to do it right. I don't want to waste this money. I don't want to waste this time.
Yeah.
So I remember making a commitment to God and just being like, listen, if I'm going to do this, it's going to be A's in every class. Like, yeah. I want 90% and above.
Yeah, I didn't have that commitment to God at that stage because I wasn't saved back then. So I was kind of just trotting through, just doing it myself. And, you know, looking back now, I can actually see God's hand in my life just the way everything worked out and where I pretty much was led to right now.
So how'd you end up becoming a Christian? How'd you find God?
Bit of a long story, so we'll get into it.
Let's go, bro. Yes. Let's go.
So I was... pretty much born and raised into a Catholic household. I was baptized as an infant, did the Holy Communion, But we'd only really go to church maybe on Easter and Christmas. And so even then, like, some, that was only on some occasions. And, you know, I'd always wear that golden cross around my neck. Always say that I believe in Jesus. And then I started dating this girl who was a different faith. She was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everything was all right. Didn't think it would be an issue. Then she came to me and she's like, you have to convert. So
how long were you dating for?
It was only a few months at the time. So it wasn't like serious into it.
But you were kidding yourself.
I was, yeah.
Let's be straight. Like, I was talking about that last night with some mates.
Yeah.
Like, people that do that or try to date cross-faith or whatever, you're kidding yourself at that point, really.
But now I see that, yes. Back then, I wasn't saved. And I wasn't really big on my faith. I was like, yeah, whatever.
It just doesn't work, though. It's just hard.
It's true. Yeah. 100%. But she pretty much asked me this question when she brought up, like, you need to convert. And she was like, do you even know your own faith?
Mm.
And I was kind of just like, you got me. Like, you got me. I had no idea.
What, you were a Christmas, Easter Catholic?
Like, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And so that kind of led me to researching not only, like, my faith, but hers as well. And I started researching like atheism, Hinduism. Like,
I just got you on a...
Yeah, I was kind of like, I just wanted to find the truth.
Okay.
And I came to the truth that Jesus, 100%, he's my Lord and Savior. But it wasn't really like, that was more like a factual truth, like comparing to religions. I wouldn't say I gave my life at that time.
You were just like, okay, this is the right one. This is the one to follow.
Yeah, pretty much. And then that pretty much told, like, I told her I can't go to Islam, pretty much. And pretty much still researching throughout the whole year. And then it came to, I think it was 2017 Christmas Eve, my mate, he asked me to come to, it was Hillsong at the time, Christmas Eve service. And I was like, why not? I'll go to it. And it was then when I realized that I needed to accept Christ as my Savior.
At that Christmas Eve service?
Yeah, at that Christmas Eve service. So the next like 6 to 8 weeks, I was attending like Hillsong. I'd drive out 45, 50 minutes to Balcombe Hills and I would attend their services. But it got to a point where I felt like I was hearing the same thing over and over again.
Okay, so nothing different.
So I felt like I was like, okay, I got what I need from Hillsong. I don't feel like I need it anymore. I was reading, I was praying. I felt like I was going good. Like I felt like I wanted
things to were talk. Different.
Things were different, yeah. And then once I stopped going, slowly stopped reading.
So what was the Hillsong experience like for you?
Initially, it was good to hear the gospel message. But after that, the only way I can really explain it is I wasn't getting convicted by the messages.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel like I plateaued. And once I stood back and I looked exactly what they preach about, how they do their services, I felt...
Like you couldn't grow there?
Not only could it grow, but I felt something that it just wasn't sitting with me right.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I can't really explain the feeling.
Yeah.
And so pretty much backed away from that church. And then slowly, I guess, I stopped reading as much, praying as much. And the friendship group that I have, they're amazing people, love them. But I guess I was still getting led towards like that sinful lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then finished my second degree. And then went to Europe, and then that kind of spiraled a little bit out of control as well. So I fell into like...
Just fell back into the old ways, really.
Yeah, pretty much, like straight back into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would feel the conviction, like I'll do something wrong and I would feel the conviction, but because I was doing it over and over and over again...
Just kept ignoring it.
By the time I came back to Sydney, I had no conviction.
Didn't really care.
Yeah, and it was probably later that year, it was like... It was for my birthday and I spent a ridiculous amount of money, went clubbing, bought a ridiculous amount of stuff that I shouldn't be buying. And I guess the conviction kind of hit me then, like it started to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started listening to sermons again, started reading, not consistently. It was like here and there. And then there was this, came January, February, where we went to Queensland with a bunch of mates. I can't remember exactly time frames. And I remember after a night out, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning and we're there after a night smoking argile, just chilling out. And then everyone went to bed and I stayed awake and I was just like, what am I doing with myself? Like a kind of a conviction, like...
Where was this?
That was in Queensland. And it kind of just knocked me on my butt. like crazy.
Yeah.
And I just started, I opened up my Bible then and there, and I just started reading. And I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, and I apologize. I couldn't be more sorry. Like, it was a big wake-up call.
Trying to figure it out.
Pretty much.
How long into your salvation is this? How long are you saved at this point?
Probably just over a year.
Just over a year. And you just still haven't figured out where God will have you, what church he has you attend, anything so like that. So you're trying to, basically what I'm getting at is you're trying to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I was doing it all on my own. And I guess I didn't really have an older as well there just to guide me in the right direction. I was literally just doing it all myself.
You're doing it blindsided.
Pretty much.
Looking back at that, like you got 20/20 vision now. Like you look back at that, what are your thoughts like seeing the effects of not having a church and not having guidance and leadership in your life? What effect does that have on a Christian?
I think it's massive. I think if you don't go and have that regular, it's pretty much like food, right? If you don't have that regular message that helps you, that feeds you spiritually, you're going to go down that bad path again. And even now, I feel like if I don't go to church for a week, I can feel it already.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Even though I'm praying and reading still, it's not only the message that you get from it, it's the people that you're around as well. You feed off their encouragement.
Yeah, because everyone's going through the same thing, yeah, right? Like exactly. Everyone's going through those same struggles, those same hardships throughout the week, and it's sort of a place where you can recharge.
Yeah, pretty much.
And for me, that's sort of where I'm like, okay, we really need to, like Christians that have the philosophy of, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to be in a church service or a community like that. It gets me the question, how do you go through all those rough times and how do you get encouraged to move forward and to push on if you don't have someone guiding and helping you? Because it's so hard to do by yourself.
It's very hard. Like I pretty much, like I said, try to do it myself and it got me nowhere.
Mm.
They ended up sending me back quite a bit.
So you're in that hotel room, you're reading your Bible, then what?
I pretty much just said I'd make a change from there. So I stopped everything that I was, I'd say, willfully doing, like smoking, I get there, doing, going out, all that just stopped. Started praying, reading a lot more, and I started praying for God to show me a church, try and lead me to a church, because I didn't know where to go.
Yeah,
I grew up
sure.
in a Catholic house. I don't know what...
You don't know black from
sound
white.
Doctrine. Yeah, pretty much. So I found this preacher online. His name's Pastor David Lynn, and he was in Canada, and I fell in love with street preaching. And because a lot of the stuff he'd talk about, it convicted me. And so as I was following him, I was like, I was praying to God for a church that would emulate like pretty much the mission that he was pretty much preaching.
Sort of the same sort of doctrine.
Yeah, so the mission statement. Yeah. So I wanted it to line up. So I kept praying. And then it was like the second or third week of uni. And then I met Amelia from church.
Mm-hmm.
And she invited me because we started speaking about God. And I was a little bit hesitant at first. So I looked on the Faith Baptist Church website and I compared the mission statements from both churches and they lined up pretty almost equally.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, that's good. And then if you look at, I've actually looked at this recently. It's not there anymore because they've changed their website. But the church in Canada, where they were located was in Regent's Park in Toronto.
That's it.
Yeah. And then this church is located in Regent's Park. And I was like, okay, this is definitely has to be
a, it's got to be a sign.
It's got to be a sign. It's not a coincidence.
What made you so hesitant?
Just honestly, I don't know.
Fear?
Maybe fear. Maybe fear.
Just scared of going to the wrong place again or scared of going to a church in general?
Maybe just the church in general, to be honest. Just because everything I've experienced in the past was that Catholic tradition. And it didn't sit well with me. I didn't actually research the Catholicism doctrine until after that part of my life, but it just didn't sit right with me going to those churches. So I didn't want it to be like that.
I always say that going to a church is a very intimidating thing.
Yeah.
Like for anyone that's new anyway, I mean, for us, it's normal. Like it's second nature. We're there every other day.
Yeah.
But for a new person, it's sort of like, it's daunting, man. You're walking into a very, what's the word? It's a place that really makes you vulnerable.
Yeah, it does.
You're really opening yourself up to say, okay, show me what's going on with my life.
Yeah.
Really.
No, that's very true.
It's a trip out.
Yeah.
Okay, so you end up going.
Yeah, ended up going.
When was this?
It was a Friday night. I think it was in March.
Mm-hmm.
And
2021?
No, it would have been 2020.
Yeah.
I think 2020, maybe 2019. Yeah.
Pre or post COVID?
It was pre COVID.
Because 2020 COVID started, yeah, right?
So 2019.
It was 2019?
Yeah, 2019.
March 2019.
Yeah.
Didn't realize you were there that early.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So came and I honestly haven't looked back. It's been a huge blessing in my life. Everyone there was amazing, like yourself.
Always. No, but I want to sort of dive into that a little bit and see how that actually affected you, right? Because, okay, you go to a church, people are nice, great. People are nice everywhere. You know, you go to a footy club, people are nice there. But, like, what was it that I guess the people did or how the people reacted to you that really made you think, okay?
I think it was just more the welcoming part, because I've been to other churches before and no one talks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but people make an effort to come up and talk to you, and no one like really Bible bashed me at the start. It was all like, "What do you do for work?" Like, "Fam, like, how are you?" Like, they were pretty much just trying to be your friends first, and I thought that was a massive thing because mm-hmm. it makes you feel welcome. They invite you out to eat with everyone, like it's a big family pretty much, and they pretty much it's like they welcome you straight into that, and I think that's what kind of made me be like, oh, "This place is amazing." On top of the good preaching that,
mm-hmm. that night. So you start going to this church. How does your life change from that point? Because the last time you tried Christianity, it didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
You went and spiraled back, right?
Yeah.
How's it changed this time?
Pretty much this church, I find, keeps me honest mm-hmm. with myself.
I'm trying to move that close to you, bro. I'm losing you sometimes for some reason.
Yeah,
yeah, give it a shot. Go.
So pretty much every single message that I feel like I hear at this church, pretty much every single week, it's convicted me. I'm getting something out of it. And it teaches me as well, mm-hmm. like new things about myself, areas that I need to improve on, whether it be prayer life, reading, witnessing to people, or just improving myself as a person to try and be more like Christ. Like I'll give you an example. Like there was a stage where I before I was saved, I could not stop swearing.
Mm.
Right. It was just every second word. So I pray about that, stop listening to the music I was listening to. That's what God put on my heart. Week later, don't swear anymore.
Just started constantly changing your life, huh?
Pretty much. Like, so little things at a time, I'd feel conviction now if someone else blasphemes.
Mm.
You know, that's the stage I've gotten to. Or someone else swears, I feel the conviction.
Yeah.
And I guess I wasn't really getting the convictions for my own self and mm-hmm. noticing what was going on around me as well
mm-hmm.
until I started really surrounding myself in a church that really preached.
It goes to show how much your, I guess, your environment affects you, right? And how yeah. much it changes the way you are.
Yeah, it's massive.
As a person.
It's massive.
Just in general.
I even think towards like school days and I'm, like, I wasn't really allowed out till I was like 16 to yeah. like to go to parties and stuff. And even when I first started going to parties, I was like, if there was a drink there, I'd be like, oh, whatever. Mm. But then that social influence just gets to you and then you start conforming to what other people are doing. And if you don't have that fear of God in you, you'll give in to that.
Yeah, because I don't think it's willpower. I don't think that's the issue.
Nah, it's not willpower.
I don't think that... It's an interesting one because you can have people that don't succumb to peer pressure,
mm.
but I don't think it's peer pressure. I just think it's just the longer you're in the same environment, mm. the more it will end up affecting you
yeah, exactly.
eventually.
Yeah, so I know people from school that wouldn't give into stuff
mm-hmm.
during school, but I've heard of stories when they leave school because it's still there and it's always there. Next thing you know, they've given into it.
It's just that first compromise, really.
Pretty much. Once you give it the first little taste, like you'll just keep going back for more and more.
Mm.
And it was actually preached the other week. If that was enough, you would only need one.
Yeah.
One dose of it. But because it doesn't fulfill that empty hole that they have in them, they'll keep going back to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like I was doing. That's mainly because of the direction that I didn't have.
I think it's direction. It's also finding purpose.
Mm.
I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
When you don't have a purpose in life, you're just trying to fill that void with anything you can, even as a Christian.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, there's plenty of Christians that fall by the wayside just because they don't have a purpose or they don't see God working in their life, and so they don't really want to try,
yeah.
if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm just talking
yeah.
rubbish, but I think by not allowing God to work through you, you're allowing more harm than good.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to find happiness wherever you can.
Pretty much.
Rather than just relying on Him.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much spot on.
So what's the go now, bro? Where you at?
Pretty much just working on myself, honestly. Just continuing to read, to study God's word, go to church consistently, and try and be a good influence to those around me. Mm. So whether it be friends, my workplace, or family, and try to really do what we're called to do, and that's to preach God's word and
the gospel to them. I don't remember meeting you straight out, do you?
It definitely wasn't the first night I went to church.
No, it definitely wasn't. I think I was in Bible club or something, but yeah. I don't remember meeting you at all. Do you remember the first interaction we had?
No, I don't.
Close to the first one?
No.
All right, well then, that line of questioning just went out the window. Well, we became mates pretty early on into you coming to church. I think it was the first few months or so.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at you and thinking, all right, this kid's got... like he's zealous, he's on fire, whatever. And you and I discussed something, and I wanted to bring it up because we've discussed it a couple of times since. Mm. We talked about something I call a firecracker Christian. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. But so basically what the concept is someone becomes a Christian, they're a brand new Christian, and they're so excited. They're loving life, they're just constantly in the word, constantly wanting to preach to people, and they're sort of exploding like firecrackers. Like everything is all about Christianity, and they just want to learn. They just want to tell people. They just want to keep going, keep pushing, and just they never want to stop. But then it gets to a point where it becomes too much and they start to fizzle out.
Yeah.
It's like the big explosion, and then they just start to fizzle out because they've just gone too hard too fast. Do you remember us talking about that at all?
I remember.
What is your thought on that concept? Because I think personally, just being a Christian for, I don't know, 16, 17 years now, whatever it is, looking at people that go through that, you can see it happen like regularly.
Yeah. I guess the concept I think is accurate to a certain degree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go.
I'm just trying to think of how like myself, especially, that first like 6 to 8 weeks, like I said, everything was amazing. And I was telling people about God. I was reading, I was praying, and I was going to church every Sunday.
But that's the honeymoon period as
it's
well.
It's the honeymoon period, exactly. It was amazing. And then all of a sudden, ended up like fizzled out pretty much.
Yeah.
And then I went back into old ways. I guess I haven't really seen
do you think that, well, do that. Then why do you think that happens to you? Do you think it's a balance thing?
I think my situation is a bit different to what maybe you have seen.
Okay. What's your situation?
Where I didn't have, I guess, that proper guidance. Mm-hmm. I felt like the messages I was listening to, they weren't convicting me at all. Mm-hmm. I think it was very situational, like mine.
Yours is very in need of help.
Yeah, pretty
it's
much.
Not, it's because you were left to your own device. You just exactly. didn't know.
I tried to do it myself.
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
I guess I haven't really seen someone from our church become newly saved.
Yeah, and just go on fire and then just drop off. Exactly. Yeah. Fair enough. It's an interesting concept to me because... I think it just shows how much balance is important. And I talk about balance a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Because I think for me, balance is crucial to living a proper life, whether you're Christian or not.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and I think Christians sort of fall into the trap of thinking you can't have balance as a Christian because you need as much Bible as possible. You need as much of God's word as possible. And it just sort of, you try to play Mr. Holy the entire time.
Yeah.
Right? How important do you reckon balance is in your own?
Yeah, balance is good. It depends what definition of balance is as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it depends like how much you want to... Pretty much everything in this world is...
balanced.
But...
go, say it, go.
So, but in terms of balance, if you had to define balance, do you mean how much time you spend in God's word and how much you... give into worldly desires or worldly...
I'm not saying worldly desires at all, bro. I'm not saying sin. I'm saying that life needs to be balanced. I'm saying that if you spend 8 hours a day reading your Bible, you're fizzling out.
You're going to fizzle out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, if you can do that, good on you.
Good
like,
on you.
Yeah. Respect to you if you can do it. Like, yeah. Well done. But what I'm saying is that it ends up eating away at you and you end up burning out.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm just saying that... Christians need to be balanced. Go do something you enjoy. Yeah. Go to the gym. Spend time with your family.
Yeah.
Go do different things that aren't just constantly revolving around one thing, because too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And that concept is very true in the Christian life, whether it be scripture or not scripture. Bro, I go spend 4 hours at the gym a day, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that'll phase out as well.
100%.
Because you'll burn out.
If I spend 18 hours at work a day, I've got a problem.
Definitely.
Why doesn't it translate over to church and God's word and everything like that? You see what I'm saying? So I just think that balance is vital to a Christian's
definitely,
life.
Definitely key.
Yeah. So how's let's go to work. How do you get into the Wanderers?
Honestly, through my boss.
Go.
Pretty much. So before I graduated, I was in placement in Wollongong, and then he called me up because I'd always stay in contact with him. And I used to work at Woolworths, so I'd always see him. And I would always ask him questions. And pretty much when I was down in placement, he gave me a call. He's like, would you be interested in working for me and for the Wanderers, like their juniors? And I was like, of course I would. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
He's the guy, reason why I wanted to get into physio. So if he's offering me a job, I jumped at that straight away. So pretty much all through him. And it came to the second season now that I'm with them. And the head physio for the A-League side asked me if I wanted to do it as well. So I jumped at that opportunity because I've always wanted to work in pro sport.
Yeah.
So I decided to do both the juniors and A-League, which looking back, probably too much. But honestly, it was an opportunity, and I grabbed jumped straight away.
How pro sport is A-League at the moment? Like how
am I finding pro sport, working pro sport? I guess pro sport isn't as glamorous as what people think it is.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the hours and what you're doing.
It's full on, eh?
Yeah, it's pretty full on. Like, it's not overly difficult work. It's just, I think I'm coming from a perspective as well that I've done both the juniors and A-League same time. So I'm there for 13-hour days. Oof. And by the end of it, I am gone.
Yeah, finished.
Especially working with the kids at night. They can be a headache, some of them.
How young are you working with?
Up to 11-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like between 11 and 18-year-olds.
Yowza.
So going from adults who know their body to teaching a 12-year-old is completely different.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with the parent as well.
And the parent. Oh, they're the worst.
That's rough.
They are the worst.
That is rough.
Hopefully no parents watch this.
So, but like how, like is A-League up there? Because I don't know anything about it.
In Australia, I guess it's not. It used to be, like, there used to be some good...
That was especially first couple for the of
Wanderers.
Years, eh?
Yeah, the Wanderers' first 4 years was crazy. They used to get packed out stadiums all the time. They're obviously on a bit of a losing streak at the moment. Like, last, I think, 5 years, including this year, they haven't made the finals.
Dead set.
Yeah, so it's not as big as what it used to be. But, yeah.
But, I don't know, soccer's a weird one for me, man. I've never been into it. My cousin always was, and he still is to this day. I could never get into soccer, bro.
See, I love watching overseas, English Premier League.
Yeah, see, I followed Liverpool because my cousin did. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll follow Liverpool, done.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've watched games. I watched the World Cup, things like that. But I get it, but I could never follow it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand the hype.
Yeah.
I understand the love for it.
Yeah.
I just could never.
See, we grew up watching rugby league, and rugby league and soccer are completely different sports.
Yeah, for me, rugby league, you're just running into people and charging them over.
It's awesome.
Soccer, you're just watching the game go for 90 minutes and no goals are being scored. But then again, I watch cricket and
baseball. Yeah, see, cricket's like watching grass grow. I can't stand
cricket. Can't do cricket?
No, I can't.
You ever watch baseball?
No, I can't do baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
I love those two sports, but I can't do soccer.
No.
I'll go to a game. Like, I love the crowd atmosphere, or go to like a club and watch like Liverpool. I remember a couple of years back, watched Liverpool.
See, that would have been phenomenal.
At Marconi. There was a bunch of...
Marconi?
Yeah, like out in Wetherill Park.
Oh, okay.
Bro, the whole Liverpool community went to this to this place for the game. It's like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And bro, it was packed out and they were loving life. I think Liverpool won the... I don't know what league it was. I'm not going to pretend.
They won some trophy.
They won some trophy. And I was just sitting, I was like, this is awesome. Like the hype behind it is crazy.
No, I want to go overseas and watch a game. That would be the dream.
The atmosphere would be incredible.
It'd be crazy.
Bro, I went to a Dodgers game in LA. That atmosphere was
Yeah, so Americans unreal. Love this sport. Australians are horrible when it comes to supporting a local team or any sport in general.
Yeah, but I think that's got a lot to do with the NRL as well. Like, bro, they play most of our games at a 60,000 seat stadium.
Yeah, I know. It makes it look like it's an empty stadium.
That's a problem. Like, take it back. I think they need to take it back to those old school fields. Like, bro, when you go to Belmore,
yeah,
and the Dogs play at Belmore,
the atmosphere is crazy.
It's unbelievable. You fit 18,000 in there.
Yeah, definitely.
But you've sold it out. If they did that every weekend at a different field, that would be incredible.
In saying that, though, like, I feel like there's no excuse for us to go out and watch a. There should be 60,000 at a game. If you watch AFL, they get 40, 50,000 every single game.
I don't think there's incentive to go, though.
Yeah, that's how do you Australian take, sport. Bro, they need to work on that.
How do you take a family out to a game, spend $30 a ticket? For a family of five, for example, you spend $30 a ticket. It's $150.
Yeah.
Spend the arm and the leg on food and
it's
drinks.
It's very expensive.
It's an expensive trip. Yeah. Plus, there's no incentive to park your car.
That's the worst part. Like, I won't go to a game because of parking.
Like, bro, I struggle to go to the games. I'm single. I can't imagine what these families are doing.
Yeah.
And you sit in GA seating, which is just trash behind the posts.
Unless you go to Bankwest, it's horrible.
Yeah. Bankwest's unbelievable.
That's a phenomenal stadium.
You know what else is a good stadium? The Sydney one. Roosters, their stadium. Mate, that's awesome. I like that one.
Aren't they playing at Cricket Ground?
Are they playing at Cricket? I thought they were playing at Allianz.
Yeah, but they just redid it.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know. I went a couple of years back. That was awesome too. That was just... It was so sloped that no matter what.
That Anzac Day game today is generally phenomenal at Allianz.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, yeah, happy Anzac Day, ladies and gents. This episode's coming out tomorrow, by the way. I don't know. They need to do something to incentivize going to footy.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
It's just, I don't know. I don't know how you fix it because going to Magic Round, the atmosphere there is unbelievable.
It'd be crazy. But every single game's there. So you get your money's worth.
The atmosphere's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, you're mucking around with just randoms the entire time. And
that's awesome.
It's this vibe. Like, people are railing on each other for supporting different teams.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good. But back to it. So, like, I went to Dodgers game. That atmosphere was crazy.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And that's a 3.5-hour game. I can't imagine what going to a soccer game in Britain would be like.
It'd be crazy.
That'd be unreal.
If you wear the opposite jersey, you're 100% getting bashed.
That's the crazy part too. Like, overseas, they're full on about that stuff.
Especially Liverpool. Liverpool supporters are crazy.
Like, you go to a game here, people are bagging each other out, loving life. Like, it's a laugh.
Bad, yeah.
Bro, I was at the Dodgers game and I was sitting next to a Yankee fan because the Dodgers versus the Yankees. And he's probably 68, 69. We're hanging out. We're talking. I'm from Australia, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, we're having fun the entire game. And then I ripped him for being a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
I said something like, oh, yeah, the Yankees suck. And he lost his mind at me. I go, bro, I'm sorry, man. Like, this is just how we do things in Australia. I didn't know it was that serious here. He goes,
that's awesome.
Don't you dare. And I was like, bro, all right, no worries.
That's scary.
I was at the game by myself too. So this guy starts bashing me. I'm like, I'm not going to hit a 68-year-old.
Oh, no way.
Overseas. No, it was different. But yeah, what's happening now, Mick? What's the plan for the next 5 years or so? What's the go?
5-year plan?
Yeah.
I got a couple plans in mind. Like, I want to stop the soccer, work in the soccer.
Okay.
As much as I wanted to work in pro sport pretty much ever since I was a kid.
Didn't live up to the hype?
Honestly, it's because it takes away my Sundays.
Okay.
And that day belongs to God. Like, I really want to dedicate that day to Him, and I don't want any excuse for me not to be at church on a Sunday.
Priority thing.
Exactly. Like, I went to a game with the Wanderers to Melbourne. We're versing Western United and playing at Amy Park. Traveling with the team, like, what an experience. Like,
yeah, awesome.
A lot of physios, like, dream. I was pretty much still first year out.
Yeah.
Would absolutely kill for that position. And I remember asking, so we had a Sunday game, and generally during the lead up to the game, we treat players, make sure they're ready for the game. And I asked for 11 to 12 off so I could watch the church service. So I went up to my room, watching the service. And as I'm watching, I'm just kind of just like, what am I doing here? Like, I don't want to be here. I want to be there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That kind of hit me. And I guess that feeling kept coming on because I kept praying for God as well in the meantime, just to direct my future, my career path.
Yep.
And kind of more and more, the wanting to work in sport has kind of just diminished.
Yeah, nice.
So hopefully in the next couple of years, can open up my own thing. So that'll be the dream.
Nice,
man. At the moment.
Nice. Well, let's wrap this up, and we wrap it up one way. I send you back in the DeLorean. Send you back, what, 10 years?
10 years.
What's the one piece of advice you'd give young Mick?
Oh, one piece of advice. That's a tough question.
Go for it, bro. Take all the time you need to think about
it. That is a tough question.
I'll talk to these people. You figure it out. I love this question, ladies and gents, because it freaks people out every single time. They just can't get it. It stumps them. You see the look in their eye.
I'm actually stumped. I don't know what to say.
No clue? You don't have one piece of advice for him?
The only piece of advice I'd be is read your Bible.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fair enough, bro. Well, Mick, thanks for jumping on, bro. Thanks for talking to me. Where can the people find you online?
Online?
Yeah.
I guess on Instagram, Facebook, but I don't really use social media that much.
Okay. So. All right. Well, be in the description, ladies and gents. Ladies and gents, you know where to find me, RayHadad97. Make sure you follow the channel. Have a chat with Ray and Stat. Get our subscription number up to 150. Mick, thanks for talking to me, man.
Thanks for having me.